Welcome back to Raw Thoughts Podcast with me, Mackenzie Tiggs. I bring on individuals and we just talk about their lives, where they've been, where they're at, and where they're going. I am an open platform for folks to come on and really, truly tell their stories, have deep conversations, and allow people to connect through their life experiences. So if this resonates with you, I would absolutely love if you could like, follow, and share this podcast, as well as reach out to me on my website, rawthoughtspodcast.com, if you would like to be a guest. I don't keep that limited to the Treasure Valley. So if you are out of state, I would absolutely love to be able to get in contact with you and see how we can get that done for you. Today, I have somebody very close to my heart. She has been involved in so many different things this last year that has really helped me strive to where I am, not only within real estate, but also my podcast. Some of the guests that I have had on this podcast are from her networking events. So with that, Hannah McGee, with Empowered Women Connect. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks so much for having me. This is so fun. I love being on podcasts and just being able to share, you know, what's going on and how, you know, how Empowered Women Connect has made a difference in your life. That's what's so fun to hear is I don't always get to hear some of these stories of how, you know, people like you have been connected and have helped increase their business or just gain connections, like you said, and to have more guests on the podcast. So it's really encouraging to hear. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what Empowered Women Connect is and how you run that.
Yeah. So Empowered Women Connect is a local mixer that I host every month all over the Treasure Valley. I don't host it in just one location. And it started almost 5 years ago now. I have been an entrepreneur for over 12 years. And, you know, I was a part of a handful of, you know, traditional networking groups, right, where you show up. There's usually one person per industry. And you're trying to network. But in those traditional networking, a lot of times they're expecting you to have referrals. You kind of have to keep a check of these things and turn these things in. And I did not like doing that. And I think part of it was the people that were in my networking group, I had some great relationships with, some of them were not. And I was expected to refer these people that I didn't feel connected to. And so it was actually my husband who's like, because I'd come home and kind of complain about like, gosh, I feel like I feel obligated when I didn't feel connected. So he's like, well, why don't you just start something of your own? Do something that you would love to have. And so I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. So I actually at the time when I wanted to start something, Diana with Collab Over Competition had just started hers. And so I reached out to her, and it was something similar happening here in Boise. And I reached out to her, and I'm like, hey, I want to do something similar here in Canyon County. Would you just come and, you know, can I meet with you and chat with you and see what that's like? And she was totally open, like, yeah, here, I'll serve you and support you because this is your community. And so I've lived in Canyon County, which is Nampa, Caldwell, Middleton area. I grew up there my whole young life. And then I got married and lived there. I've lived there for 18 years. So I'm very well connected in Canyon County. My husband's been served in politics to serve our community. We've been on boards, all the things. We've helped. My husband was a part of helping Destination Caldwell get going with Downtown Plaza, stuff like that. So she knew I was very connected in this community. She's like, yeah, this is a great idea. So she helped me kind of start the just kind of get the main bones of it. But she quickly realized I didn't need her help. So she's like, you do your thing. Here you go. And so I was able to kind of develop it. And one thing that I did hear from my community is that a lot of stay-at-home moms, women in corporate, didn't have a place to quote-unquote network or connect with other women. And so I definitely, my mixers, I wanted to keep open for women of all walks of life because we are made to connect. We are made for those. We want those relationships. We look for that. And especially with social media being such a prominent thing in our lives, we have so many, in a way, shallow connections. We look connected maybe, or even maybe feel connected to a certain degree, but not those deep connected relationships. And with these mixers, I wanted to lead with connection first. I wanted women to be able to learn how, again, to ask those questions like, who are you? What's your passions? What are you good at? Not what do you do? Mm-hmm. And especially the pressure, because I think when we lead with that, sometimes it's a pressure like, oh, I have to sell. I hope that you can refer. You know, it's just this mind game almost. So I had just intentionally wanted that opportunity for connection first. And what I've started seeing, though, is that that business grew because women started connecting and because they started creating relationships first. And both sides continue to grow as far as their businesses and found ways to collaborate and support each other and refer each other because they knew, because they cared. And they knew it wasn't just a number, right? They had to check off to refer. And so it grew very quickly. I started in July of 2018. And we had, you know, probably 20 people. And by that fall, we had 30 to 40 people. And what I loved about it, we strictly kept it in Canyon County at the time. And what I would do is every month I would host it at a different location. With the intent that it would highlight this business that we would do it at. And so a lot of them were female-owned, for sure. But it was cool because a lot of these people that would come to these mixers were like, I've never been here. I've never seen this. Oh, my gosh, this is so cool. And it was neat to kind of have this duality of women growing and connecting, but also this business was also getting more exposure and just new bodies and eyeballs in this business to see what it's all about. And so it was cool to see on another side businesses grow as well with new people in there. And then so every month I would just host another mixer, and it was great. It was wonderful. And it was so cool to just see growth with women, and just, you know, they were excited about connection. They were excited. They loved the feeling of not having to go and pass out their business cards and, you know, and feel like it's another sell.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem with a lot of these networking events, you know, especially being in real estate. It is, you know, have your business cards ready, but also what can you give me?
Yeah.
And I think for true connection and for longevity of your career, it is about that connection piece, not about just handing out your business cards.
Yeah, definitely.
And you actually promote that at your mixers of like, this is not a place, you know, where we just come around and you hand out your business cards. Like, have a conversation. Yeah. Look them in the eyes. Have a conversation. Truly know who they are, so that when it does, you know, come an opportunity that maybe you know somebody that needs their services, you actually know them on a deeper level. Yes. And you're not just saying, oh, well, I'm referring them because, you know, they gave me their business card. Yeah. Or I have to. You know?
Yeah, it's so true. And another thing that I saw that I realized is true connection happens when there's vulnerability. And so, you know, that's hard. You know, people don't want to be vulnerable sometimes. And so I had to figure out a way of like, how do we create not a huge vulnerability, but something where it kind of just breaks the little shell or breaks a little uncomfortable, because that's where people truly see your heart sometimes. Yeah. And so that was really neat to see is, you know, just posing a question of like, what are some dreams? I remember one that we hosted in Nampa, and I remember it was kind of the new beginning of the year around this time, and I had asked a question to the ladies that were at this mixer. I said, what is a dream that has fallen apart? Like, you feel like this dream that you've always had is not coming true, or it's not becoming something that you have always hoped for. And it was like, oh, the tears started flowing, not just for me, but from everybody else. It's just like, it's something real. Yeah. That I think a lot of women are afraid to be vulnerable, especially on social media, about just their struggles. We have sometimes, I think we're convinced that we have to show all of our, you know, all the successes and all these great things. And I think it's changing now with being more vulnerable, like you are here on this podcast. But that's where it was just so cool to see that true growth and that true connection happen when everybody could understand and relate that some of the dreams that we have never come true. And what do we do about that? So it's been cool to see just the vulnerability too, that women have been willing to open up and share some difficult things with them.
in the beginning, when you were starting this business, and I would say it was something different that, you know, had been done. When you approached those businesses, what were their takes on it? Were there some businesses that were like, no, we don't want to host something like this? Mm-hmm. Were they totally on board? What was that like?
I would say, you know, I had a mixture of both, where I think they were scared to have, you know, 30 to 40, sometimes 50 women in their buildings. But I would say the majority of the people that I would either, ask in the beginning, especially in the beginning. And I think part of it was, for me, it was my connection that I had to them already, the relationship that I had. So they trusted me. They trusted that what we were doing was something that was to benefit them and to help them, not to just benefit me or the mixer. And so I definitely, I would say, if I'm thinking back of all the different locations I've had, most of them have been because I've been connected. Now, in the past couple years, with the growth, especially after COVID, it was after kind of things opened up, and then there was such a growth here too. There's so many women who are mm-hmm. dying to connect and dying to find friendships because they're new to this area. It was like 50 people, you know, was hard to find a place that would fit that many women. So I had to start a waiting list of, you know, people to come. But two, then I had people asking me, would you bring your community to our place? Would you bring your community to, you know, our salon or boutique? So that was really neat to see that transition of just seeing other businesses seeing the value of mm-hmm. that instead of me trying to, in a way, convince them that this is very valuable to have this many women in your location, maybe even if you've never had it.
Yeah.
And so that's been neat too, because when they see the value, they put more of their heart and soul into it to be able to, to get the most out of having these women there. So that's really rewarding for me too.
Yeah. We talk about a lot of rewards mm-hmm. and making these connections. What has been some of the struggles within this business? I mean, 5 years is where you're not the newbie, right? But you're mm-hmm. you're still on the journey of transitioning and learning and changing. And every year, you know, you have different events or you do different classes. What is that like on the struggle side?
It was, I would say, when I think back to the beginning, it was easy for me, because there was no competition. And I wouldn't even say now there's competition. I shouldn't even say that word. There's more mixers. So women have more options than they did in 2018. There's probably one or two, maybe. And so I would say it was more easy to market and more, you know, it was just, you know, women were like, oh yeah, I want to do this. So now with more of networking opportunities popping up and a variety of them and different looks, different styles, it's amazing. And I think it's really neat because, you know, women feel called to, you know, do some of these things and every single one is different. So now finding it it's that struggle between figuring out how do you stand out or how do you separate yourself? Because one of the things that I would teach women in our mixers as well is that, other people in your industry are not necessarily a competition. There's healthy competition, of course, but these people are not out to get you or to get your clients, or, you know, they are women who are just trying to succeed in their business. And how can we find ways to support each other? And what you find, and I would do this in some of our mixers, is I would separate everybody into their own industries. And it was really uncomfortable for these women. Of a handful of them were all photographers, so they all had to be in a group. And like the ones who own salons had to be in a group. And so we had questions saying, where they introduce themselves and then they would say something that they, their superpower is or something they kick ass at in their business. And then one thing they're struggling with. And what was so cool to see is once the other women would see that, oh, they struggle with something similar or there's something that they struggle with that I can help with and support them. It was just kind of like the walls broke down, right? And so, so now too, part of that is finding your own individuality of like what makes you different than the other salons or the other photographers that makes you stand out, and identify the right people that want to be a part of that. So that's partly, I think, you know, instead of, I think I'm having to, in some ways, work harder to make sure that my message is clear, that I'm identifying who our mixers are for, and how we're serving them in a little bit more than I didn't have to create that so much, mm-hmm. In the past. And then because I've done it so long, I'm a dreamer too, and I sometimes chase a shiny object. And I've found in the last year trying to do that, I've burnt out. And, you know, trying to, I've set the, I think what I've done is I've set false expectations for myself, to sometimes be the more shiny object for other people. And I have not put boundaries around that. So last year I definitely burnt out and almost burnt everything, like done, no more mixers, all of it. Because I found myself, I think I lost in some ways my vision and purpose of what I was doing with these mixers. I remember in July, I always celebrate the anniversary party of, you know, launching this in 2018. And I had a big one. I always like to go bigger and better every year, which I don't have to, but I did. And it burnt me out. It really did, because I think I lost the purpose of, well, why am I doing that? Why am I going bigger and better? You know, people love to connect, whether it's a huge, big event or, you know, just a small room. And I've never been about the fluff. Like, I won't have the balloons. At most mixers, you will not see anything extra at my mixers. And I don't ever have never felt that. So usually I'll go extra on my parties. But even then, too, it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Why do I need to do this? It's fun. But after that anniversary party, I was so tired and I was done and I was burnt out. But my pride was in the way, and like, I just celebrated 4 years and everybody saw, we had like 75 women there, you know, all the things. And I was like, no, I can't stop. I can't take a break, because I really wanted to take a break and not do a mixer in August. But I somehow convinced myself that I can't do that. And so that kind of, you know, the burnout has been, I've been managing it for probably a long time, but this is what it's kind of, I could look back and see it just starting to unfold. And just then, because I felt stuck and I felt, you know, kept my pride up, I started saying more yeses to things I knew I was not aligned with our mixers and where we were kind of going for the rest of the year. And, I went on a big trip with my family and I couldn't even fully enjoy it because I was just such a mess. And so I think it's real. I think women don't talk about it because it's embarrassing. You know, I'm an Enneagram 3, so I'm an achiever. I want everybody to think that I'm very successful and all those things. And so I think for a lot of women, it's embarrassing when you finally come to a point where like, I can't do this anymore and I have to figure something else out. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard to just admit that I was at this burnout and I was almost so close to just burning all this wonderful thing, you know, mixer community that I've built down to the ground just because of my lack of boundaries and not saying no more.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, that's something that you have been doing your hard work for years. Yes. And years and years. Yep. And you talk about that it may have not been that exact event. Yeah. For the burnout. And I think that right there is something that, you know, I know even with myself of juggling so many different things. Mm-hmm. In women, in men, in humans, we get to this point where we're just kind of trudging through. Yeah. And we're not getting anywhere, but we know we got to keep going.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Instead of taking that pause, reflecting, seeing how else we can manage it or, you know, leverage out aspects of the business. With that burnout, how did you not allow it to just throw up your hands and say, screw it, we're not doing it anymore?
Yeah. Well, thankfully, part of our membership or our community that we have, I started a membership about 2 years ago, which is women can, you know, pay a higher fee to be part of a kind of a more deeper dive. We do masterminds every month. We have I do one-on-one business coaching with them every quarter. So it's more kind of like if you're an entrepreneur and you're sick of doing things alone, let's grow together and learn from each other kind of thing. So as part of my membership, that really kind of carried me. Like there was a couple of people in there that I knew had dealt with burnout. And so I reached out to them like, I'm ready to fall apart and I don't know what to do. And so it was the community itself, because there's so many women that, you know, get so much from these communities, that part of it. I just didn't want to end it for them. So I was trying to figure out like, well, how do I take care of myself and keep this going? And so I think it was, like I said, some key people in our community and memberships that really kind of just said, well, let's figure out how we can help you. Like, you don't have to do this alone. And I think that's what I think I did a disservice to myself and to the community by carrying the mixers and the community all by myself. Mm-hmm. And instead of allowing more women who care about this community to help carry it or to help lead it or, you know, those kind of things. And so that was kind of a big turning point for me to realize, as a leader, that's not my job to fully carry this on my own. It's to allow and open the platform for other women to do it too. And so it was kind of this aha moment, because they even said, like, let us help you, you know? And so it's like, oh, I can let this go and know that it will keep on going, because they have the same heart and mission to do the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me not burn it down. And you were talking about just, you know, kind of sitting with ourselves and evaluating, you know, how do we get to that place, right? I think so many of us function in that burnout for so long. And then I know so many stories of like people just, their body freezes up and they can't even move anymore, or they get super sick or whatever. So I'm grateful that my health didn't fully tank, but I knew that feeling of just, you know, not being able to carry myself and take care of my family. I was so sick of being sick of it, you know, that mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to do something different. And that kind of just started digging deep, kind of, and just really like, okay, where is it? What happened? And I really realizing that it's my fault, you know, that the burnout is not anybody else's fault. Or it's just my decisions that I've made, and the lack of saying no and boundaries that has gotten me to that place was kind of humbling too, because it's kind of nice to find ways to blame events yeah. or people or whatever on your burnout. Nope, it's all you. And how are you going to deal with it? And so that was really sobering for me, of just like, okay, I got here, so how do I not get here now?
Yeah.
And that's been my journey, I think, since kind of October, November, is like, okay, what do I need to do different? Who do I need to become in order to not, get back to the same place, right? It's, you know, insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. It's like, I don't want to be in that insanity anymore. I want to figure out, you know, how to better say no and create boundaries. So that's been hard too, because I usually like to like, okay, I'm fixed, I'm good, in like a month or so, sweep it under the rug and let's go. I can, you know, and that's definitely not the case this time.
Yeah. Well, and you had mentioned too, I mean, a lot of people do get very sick when they get mm-hmm. to these points, and I'm glad you didn't.
Yes.
But you not only are running this your business, mm-hmm. but you're a mom and you yeah. have a very involved family, you know. Actually, your sister was on the podcast,
yes, Abby,
which I have to give her a shout out for. She's Yay. Engaged. I'm so excited for her. Yes. Yes. So you have more than just your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have so many people reaching out to you, and you're kind of the epicenter mm-hmm. of Empowered Women Connect,
yeah.
you know? And so a lot of eyes on you, there's a lot of decisions that you have to make.
Yes.
And how do you handle so many people coming for you or requesting things from you, but maybe you don't align with what they are with? How yeah. do you handle that?
Oh, that's hard, because I it's true, definitely. Before you were going to ask that question, I thought you were just going to say, how do you handle everybody asking? Because that is a true thing. And being, yeah, I think I have two kids, and so and they're middle school, so their lives are very demanding right now. And I am the oldest of seven kids in my family. And so a lot of responsibility falls on me a lot of times. And so dealing with that alone is difficult to balance of just, and I've had to learn once again to say no. It's like, it's fully not my responsibility anymore. I'm not the oldest sister. You know, when I was younger, I had that response, but now as an adult and I have my own family, I don't need to take care of all my other siblings and family, you know, those things. So yeah. I've had to put stronger boundaries on that. But when it comes to people that aren't aligned, it's hard because I'm still a people pleaser. I would love to say I'm recovering, but I'm still in the process. But it's hard. And I think because, especially when it comes to Empowered Women Connect, I know my mission. And when, especially like there's been people who want us to come there and come to their location, but they are not aligned with my mission of connecting first. You can tell they want to sell, and you know, it's not about creating a community. When I get those inquiries, I really first align, you know, I look at our mission and what we are all about is, you know, creating opportunities for women of all walks of life to connect, and also support those businesses, that first are female owned. And most of my mixers are at female owned locations. Is their heart about connecting to the community, serving the community? And I can tell now, especially, all I have to do really is either go to their website or their social media to find out if they care about their community. And if I can't tell that, I'll ask a couple questions. But those are kind of the main three ones. And you know, there's a lot of people that are, but a lot of them, you know, there are a handful that don't. They just, you know, they're about making the money, and that's not necessarily wrong. It's just not fully aligned with you know, what I want to do.
Yeah. What is your actual mission? I mean, I know you've said it kind of vicariously, but do you have it written down somewhere? Do you have it?
You're putting pressure on me here.
Sorry.
That's funny. No, because actually the gal who helps me on my back end, she's like, we need to like have a clear mission of what that is. And so I'm actually kind of working through that because my mission has been that, like, right, to create, you know, mixers for women of all walks of life. And that's like probably more my tagline than my mission. And so I honestly have been working through that to be like, well, what more, you know, that deeper thing. And I think it's kind of just going back to, you know, enabling women to connect first, mm-hmm. right? So that they can grow in their life, whether that's through business or through life. Because like I said, those stay-at-home moms, they get so much out. We don't have a ton, but the women that do come that don't have their own business, they leave so happy and they leave so connected. But like, you know, they found someone that they can refer their friend to, or they finally found someone who can relate to them because they have five kids and they're drowning, you know, those kind of things. And so that is the mission. And I don't have that written down, but that's what I'm realizing more too, is like that is, you know, more of that kind of mission is where I'm going for sure.
Yeah. You know, and I love that you are vulnerable in that aspect because you've had this business for 5 years. Yeah. And I think people, you know, expect that before they start a business that they need their mission statement and they need all of these figured out. But you have shown that you have gone through this, and now it's the times of, you know, kind of our culture and society that like you're having to hone in a mm-hmm. little bit more. You're having to get that clarity.
Definitely.
To be able to show the community why you are different or why you do stand out.
Yeah. Well, and I would definitely tell you just in business experience, because I do a lot of marketing consulting as well for small businesses, is I'm one definitely for the most part that I'm willing, if I see something that I want to do, I'm willing to jump in with both feet without a plan. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out.
Yep.
And I did. I have, for the most part, figured out all these things, you know, that I've done. But I will tell you for sure, probably the people that would do the same thing, there is a time you will get to, even after figuring out and being very successful, there will be a time in your life, And I feel like it's around this time, the 5-year hit, that you hit this wall and you've figured it out and you've done really well. But now you've hit this wall because you didn't have like a full plan or kind of like what you, you know, and not necessarily that you have to have a full plan, but the structure around it.
Yeah.
You kind of eventually will hit this wall of like, oh, crap. Like, well, now what do I do when I've grown so big and, you know, there's more of us in the area? It, you know, just you will find that wall. And I feel like as much as I would not want to admit it, I'm at that wall where I'm like, okay, I have to, like you said, define that mission clearly to, you know, to continue to serve the right people that want to be a part of this. Because if I don't, I will just get, you know, eventually kind of just within the mix, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want that. And I don't want that for my community too. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm at that point too, just like, where do I need to go next with this community? And, you know, I've been doing the same thing for a long time and it's good to be consistent, which I have. But now it's like, okay, it's time for something, not something else or different necessarily. It's just, you know, just that growth,
yeah.
you know, and that next step.
And I think that is really great to hone in on for the listeners because that time may be different for everybody
yes.
else, right? You're at that 5-year mark. I'm feeling that at that 1-year mark of mm-hmm. the podcast because people are asking, well, what is it that you actually do? What is your message? You know, that's one big question I've got recently is like, what is your message? Mm. Being at these speaking events, you know, I have so much that I want to talk about or that I can connect with, you know, and you and I are very similar and we like to just jump in and you're right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a big group of people and they're like, we don't know what to do.
Yes,
you know,
we'll
it's you and I that will just take charge.
Yeah.
And they're like, how did you know this? And I'm like, we don't actually. Yeah. You have to figure it out. You have to take that step of doing something because even if you do the wrong thing the first time, you've learned that that's the wrong thing and you can pivot and you can change that.
Right.
And that's a lot easier for personalities like us to change it than to just not do anything at all.
Right.
And so I think for the listeners, you know, it's important to put on that within your business, maybe the 5-year, it may be 1 year, it may be that you are 10 years into it and now you're, you know, you've had your time, you've had your consistency, but now other priorities are coming in that are really kind of honing you into what you're actually doing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's more of the struggle for me.
And me. Yeah.
Than it is to start something.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I think where I'm at like this point where too, I think you're exactly right because I'm seeing this in like live time of just being, and I was just listening to another podcast just about like when we are in that fear spot and, you know, we feel overwhelmed and that fear spot. And a lot of times we will just change it because we feel like, okay, it's easier to start something new or add something than to deal with the fear, grow through it and find out like what's, you know, why, you know, it's a sign that there's something happening and usually it's a good thing. It's like the next step taking you, you know, somewhere. But a lot of times for me, that freaks me out because I'm not in control and I can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, usually I can figure it out. But if I'm in that place where I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm kind of I'm scared. I know that there's something there, but also it's like, a lot of times, like it's, to me, I think in the insecurities, I think it's a sign that I should change something or start something new. And I don't think, and I'm realizing that's probably not the answer necessarily. And I just need to be more curious and push through it to see what the answer is instead of just letting that go and starting something. Because I'm not afraid to start something new.
Yeah.
But that's not always the answer.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where I'm in this place too, especially with burnout because, you know, with declaring that I don't want to go back there and then I am setting boundaries, I believe, you know, God, the universe, I'm being challenged to be like, okay, are you serious about this? And things are, you know, being placed in my life that they're like, okay, if you want these boundaries and you want to trust yourself first, here's your test, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a very uncomfortable space for me right now. Because I think I'm really trying to push myself instead of just avoid it or shove it on the rug. I'm trying to really deal with my personal side of dealing with burnout and not getting there again. And then, you know, what does this ongoing growing community look like as we change and evolve and you need to grow as well. So it's exciting. It is hard too, but I think you're exactly right. It's just, yeah, it's hard when it's in that transition and you just, you know, it's not something you're supposed to start over again.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. And I think that curiosity piece, you know, recently I had somebody say, you know, a lot of us say like one door closes, right, another opens, mm-hmm, and maybe try reopening that door.
Mm, yeah. You know, the timing.
Maybe try, instead of it just needed to close and kind of give you a pause for a second, but instead of going and finding that new door that's already opened, maybe you just need to open that door, sure, again and kind of dig in a little bit deeper. And I think that curiosity piece, mm-hmm, of like, why am I feeling this? What is actually the root cause of this? Right. And I love that you are in the process, mm-hmm, of it, because I think so many people are at the end of it when they want to tell their stories.
Yeah, right.
And you are in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important part to know, that you are still working through it and you are still figuring that stuff out. But already in this journey, you've learned so much. And what else are you going to be able to learn from it?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, too, with being an Enneagram 3 and being more open about, you know, sometimes, like I said, a lot of times I would rather not let people know that I'm struggling, you, mm-hmm, know, that I'm supposed to be strong. But it's been really cool. I've been sharing kind of this process of burnout on my social media, on Empowered Women Connect on Instagram. And it's really neat to just see the responses that people are like, oh my gosh, I'm in this too. I'm right in the middle. Or thank you for this feedback, or what you're going through is giving me courage. So, you know, you hear those stories about people sharing, kind of being vulnerable. But, you know, it helps me be more comfortable to share it and just be real with people, because it's really neat to see that, you know, I'm not the only one and we should be talking about this. And, you know, how do we support each other through this process.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think you've kind of hit it on the head of, you know, the more we speak up about these really difficult situations that normally we would sweep underneath the rug, mm-hmm, you actually find other people,
yes,
that are in that same position, right, and maybe they didn't have the courage to speak up, mm-hmm, about it, but you get to. You are being that person that is now connecting the burnout.
Yeah.
Folks,
yeah,
mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You are the person that is connecting for, you know, businesses and true connection, but you're also saying, hey, this is what I do, but this is what I'm feeling right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that vulnerability, you will start, just like your, you know, mixers, you'll start having people come up to you and say, hey, I actually went through this. Here's some resources, mm-hmm, that helped me.
Yes. Yeah.
And you wouldn't have known that if you, mm-hmm, hadn't talked about the hard things.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. And I already have had people reach out to me, you know, letting me know like who, if they have a coach or the resources. And so it's really neat. And I think it does continue to give people permission to be vulnerable and to share that they're not the only one. Once again, back to Instagram or social media, like you feel like you're so connected. You have this community sometimes. But then, you know, but you're not, mm-hmm, you know? And so I think it gives, and you think that you're the only one going through all these things, even though you see thousands of posts about these things. So I think when you do that, it creates just this, oh yeah, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one struggling with this. And you know, be able to connect, like you said, on that level too. It's been really neat.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this translates, you know, what you're speaking about of not feeling alone to many different aspects, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I think you being vulnerable enough to talk about your burnout is helping in such a great way for other people that maybe they don't feel that burnout, but maybe they feel something else, you know, off in their life, mm-hmm, and they do feel alone. And they're like, there is nobody else out there. I don't, you know, and this comes back to, I think, so much of the mental health aspect that I talk, mm-hmm, with about when when we're going through these hard times, we kind of seclude and we want to be alone.
Right.
And we're putting ourselves in that alone category. When really, when we start talking about it and being vulnerable and speaking up, you'll learn there's a lot of other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what you're going through is not a superpower that you are the only one you are so alone for, right? Mm-hmm. There are other people out there, and there are other people to connect with. And you just sharing this story really, really gives me a lot of hope for other people to know, like, you're not alone.
No, and I would encourage your listeners to, like, if whatever you're going through and you do seem to feel alone, that you, you know, you get out of that, and I don't want to fully call it pity, but just we can create our own victim mindset of like, oh, like you said, we're the only ones going through this or whatever. So I would encourage, like, empower yourself to go find a community, go find, you know, to, it's hard to, I know it's hard for some people to be vulnerable. I know. And we've had women, thankfully our space is very, very safe for women who feel vulnerable, especially introverts. Mm-hmm. And so there is a place that I would, you know, that you can find, at least to go start finding those connections, because, you know, you can't do this alone. You can't fight your battles alone. And there is someone out there, I know, you know, and even, like, this is no plug, but BetterHelp. I've heard so many people recently, you know, I hear these ads on other podcasts and stuff like that, but I have met so many people recently. I'm like, how did you find your counselor or your, you know, someone who for your mental health or whatever? And so many of them have gone on BetterHelp because they've heard about it, mm-hmm. and they've found someone in their area to help them through this. That's awesome. And it's an interview process. So anyways, I'm just saying, it's like, that's an excuse to say that you're alone and you can't find anybody. There is somewhere, mm-hmm. something that, you know, that will be a good fit for you, and that someone can, you can be a part of a community to be help you through whatever it is you're going through, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So how do people get connected in your community? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, you just go on our Instagram, is probably the easiest, empowered.women.connect. We, like I said, we host mixers every month here in the Treasure Valley, all over. So this month in January, it's in Nampa. And next month will be Meridian. And so we kind of switch back between the towns in Treasure Valley. So all you have to do is buy a ticket. You don't have to be a member or anything, and just, and come. And that is your kind of your first step to connect in the community of Treasure Valley. excuse me, if you are not in Treasure Valley, you can still connect on the social media and reach out to me, because, you know, we're pretty well connected. I don't have any other groups in other states yet. That's actually kind of one of my goals this year, because a lot of people have said, can you come to our state? Can you? I'm like, yeah, if that's something, I will empower these women to help lead their community as well. And then empoweredwomenconnect.com is a great resource of what's going on in the community, ways you can get connected outside of, if you're not in the Treasure Valley too. So those are the best two ways.
That's awesome. So, which I'm very excited to go to January's.
Yes.
Because that actually used to be World of Nutrition. In my aunt, and that was my grandma's business. So it'll be super neat to see that. That was when my aunt was the owner of it.
Right.
So yeah, very, very neat. She also was my very first podcast host. So
if you
are listening, yes. I encourage you to go to, technically it's episode 2, the trailer's number 1, but really kind of hearing her story of the, you know, the background of that building and World of Nutrition and what that looks like. So
cool.
Very excited to go, and I get to bring my mom's going.
Yay.
Too. So
yes, I saw that.
It's very neat. It's very awesome to be able to see you within the community and just growing it and truly making these connections, and not making it, you know, business first.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
I always appreciate that. I've seen, you know, my podcast and my business grow because of that. Mm. And I think, you know, just as reminders that even if you can't make it to Hannah's event, to lead your business that way, right? Instead of asking, you know, what can you get from somebody? What mm-hmm. can you give to somebody?
Definitely.
And I promise you that will go tenfold. Yeah. So yeah. I appreciate you coming on. All the listeners, you can also, I'll have all of her information in the show notes, so you can make it super easy. You can go on there, you can click and get signed up. If you are at the mixer, I encourage you to always come up, introduce yourself. If you've listened to the podcast
yes.
or heard about the podcast, I just greatly appreciate that. And that's, you know, kind of what has helped me continue to grow this over the last year. Mm-hmm. So any parting thoughts, Anna?
I'm grateful to be on here with you, and it's so cool to just see the growth that you, when you first started coming, and the changes, and you starting this podcast, and just the women that highly respect you for what you've been doing and the impact that you're truly making in the Treasure Valley. I see your banner at the Columbia High when my son played football. So it's cool to just see the impact of the seeds that, you know, you were able to gain from Empowered Women Connect and how you're making an impact as well. And yeah, I guess I would just encourage everybody, like, there's room to connect.
Yeah.
There's always room. And you will see more growth in your life, in your business, when you connect first. And like Mackenzie said, serve others first, because that's where true growth happens, for sure.
Awesome. That's so good. So thank you, folks, for listening to another episode with me. And I encourage you, if this resonated with you, or you know somebody that would like to go to the event, definitely share the podcast with them. That's what it's here for. That's what it's here to be able to connect other people that, you know, have, I'm going to say it again, a connection with Hannah. So that's what it's here for. That is, you know, still trying to figure out my mission, but that is what I love. So I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you next week for another episode. Bye, guys. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You'd also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.